Greetings from St. Stephen's CEC in London. Father Dana here. Bishop Elmer has asked me to share with you on the topic of prayer. It's a huge subject with many different facets, but today we'll just lay down a foundation. So let's begin with the goal and work backwards. What is our mission in life as Christians? What does Jesus say? In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go and make disciples. Not converts, not invite people to church, but make disciples. Those are tall orders. How can we possibly do that? Well, again, what does Jesus say? In John 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Okay, fair enough. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus? In Acts 17, verse 28, Luke tells us, "For in him, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being." You see, although in our day the meaning for abide is seldom used, it formerly meant to live, to make your home there. So Jesus wants us to take up a permanent residence with him, in him, not just visit him on Sunday during Mass. And Jesus is serious. He continues in John's Gospel, in verses 5 and 6, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." So to make disciples, to bear fruit, we must abide in Jesus. Now a branch receives nutrients from the vine because it is connected, in the same way our arms and legs receive blood from our heart. If we do not abide in Jesus, we are not connected to him. If we're not connected, we aren't receiving life from him. And if we're not receiving life from him regularly, we're withering, which means to become dry, shriveled up, and beginning to decay. It's not a punishment for being disconnected. It's a consequence, a natural result of not being connected to Jesus. Just as the branch withering is a natural result of not being connected to the vine. If we're not connected to him, we can't receive his life, and we start to die. But how do we abide? How do we get connected and stay connected at all times? Well, the first half of the answer is straightforward. The first way anyone gets to know Jesus, who he is and what he has done, is through Scripture. Scripture gives us knowledge. Reading the Bible daily helps us to recognize Jesus and teaches us how to live in him, and also teaches us how to recognize false Christs who try to lead us away from him. The second of the answer is straightforward too, but perhaps not quite as obvious. It goes back to that image of the vine and its similarity to the human body. The second half of the answer is prayer. Prayer is like breathing. It flows in two directions. In breathing, if you only inhale, you'll burst. And if you only exhale, you will die of oxygen starvation. To live, you must do both. In prayer, it is the same. We inhale when we listen to God, and we exhale when we speak to Him. Both are required. Let me explain why. Your body uses oxygen and produces carbon dioxide. When you inhale, you pull fresh, oxygen-rich air into your lungs. Blood flowing through your lungs picks up that oxygen and carries it to the rest of your body. Your body uses that oxygen and produces useless carbon dioxide, which goes back into the blood. Returning to your lungs, the blood releases that carbon dioxide and you exhale, sending it out into the atmosphere and making room for a new supply of oxygen. In the same way, what we hear from Jesus, from the vine, is fresh and rich with life. We take it in, and our heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, pumps it into every part of our spiritual being. What comes back is a tired and spent mixture, contaminated with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We speak those contaminated things to God in our confessions and repentance, exhaling them along with our worship, our thanksgiving, and our requests. Now, our speaking to God may be contaminated, but His speaking to us is pure. And the more we engage in this two-way conversation, the more impurities are removed from our life, so that our prayer to Him becomes more and more like His words to us. And in so doing, we become more like Jesus. And that is what we are predestined for. As Romans 8, verse 29 tells us, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So, through prayer and Scripture, not only do we abide in Jesus, we become more like Him. How then do we pray? Well, the first place to look is Scripture. And what does Jesus say? He gives us a model prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it deserves an entire series of sermons in itself. And many preachers greater than I have done just that. So I won't dig into it here, but I do want to look at Jesus' remarks on prayer that precede and follow it in the gospel writers. First, in Matthew, Jesus begins by telling us what not to do. This is Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, note that he says, when you pray, not if you pray. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, if we put Jesus' instructions in the form of a checklist, it might sound something like this. Don't pray to be seen. What today's culture calls virtue signaling. Holding up a sign saying, I've got the right idea, when all the while inside you may be empty. That's first. Second, your Father will reward you. And as we've seen, the best reward of all is conforming you to the image of Christ. Third, don't pray vain repetitions. There is no power in repeating the same words over and over. And fourth, don't rattle off the list of everything you want. The Father knows what you have need of, and he's concerned with your needs. That's John. In Luke, the Lord's Prayer is presented first, and then Jesus gives some instructions on persistence. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Ask for the things you need." Now, this is not vain repetition. This is continuing to ask when you don't see evidence of anything happening. That's persistence, keeping at it. In essence, Jesus is saying, don't give up. Just because you don't see things changing, don't quit. Pray by faith, not by sight. Now, if you're a new Christian, you may find it a struggle at first. That's okay. Newborns often struggle to breathe, and sometimes they need help. But as you spend more and more time with the Lord, in His Word, and in prayer, you will learn to abide in Jesus, and you will also make room for Him to abide in you. But you have to choose to make that room. If you do, praying will become as natural as breathing, and you will pray without ceasing, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 commands us, and not even give it a second thought. It will come naturally as you're at work, as you're doing chores, whatever you might be doing. When the Spirit speaks, you will pray. When you see a need, you will pray. It will be just like breathing. So, why not get started? Today would be a good day. Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.